Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is so good to see all your smiling faces. If you are a first-time visitor with us, know that we are excited and blessed to have you be with us. And if you wandered in because you're here for the Gilmore Girls and you thought you'd just check church off the list while you're out and about, you're welcome too. We're glad to have you. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who serves at this church. And this is a church, as you all know, that wants to know God, love God, and yeah, okay. One other important announcement before I get into all kinds of things is our nursery workers are sick today. There is no nursery this morning. Sunday school will go on. The Sunday school teachers are downstairs. So if you have a little one, please know you are more than welcome to stay. I already told somebody the joke about if you can't preach over a crying baby, you shouldn't ought to be preaching. So we're not worried about it. You don't be worried about it either. But there's also the quiet family room in the back. If you'd like to take your children back there, there's some things to entertain them and be welcome there. If you got a connection card in your bulletin, please make sure you fill that out. Let us know that you're here, but also let us know what it is that you are interested in being a part of here at the church. This is a church with a lot of activities going on, a lot of missions, a lot of in-house ministries and missions, a lot of things going out into the world, and so we invite you to be a part of all of that as God is calling you to share your gifts and graces with this church and this community. There are prayer cards in the pew backs. They're bright orange. You can't miss them. This is a praying community. You can tell from all the prayer quilts that we do as well. But we also have a team of people who pray. They gather once a week and pray for those concerns. They pray for all of the people here at the church, the ministries. Thankfully, they pray for the clergy as well. So we're grateful for that. So if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment and fill one of those out. This morning in worship, Rose Bledsoe and Sue Urban will be helping out with us. Pastor Lynn is going to be presenting a message about the forgiveness as we continue on the series with the promises of God, which is why we have the other pulpit up this morning, too, for all of us. All right, so let me get to some announcements. We are collecting pictures. What it is we're asking you to take a picture of a place or maybe an event or you in a place where you felt a connection, a special connection to God. Tell us about your faith journey. Maybe it'll be a picture of the church that you were baptized in as a child, or maybe it'll be a picture of you with your family dressed up for Easter services. Whatever it is that brings that moment, that memory of God's closeness to you, we would like to share in that with you. Please know also that the pictures may be used in worship and online, so we're kind of assuming it's a blanket permission. If you submit a picture, it could end up on the screen, so just be aware of that. We have one worship service coming up on September 28th. This is a little different. Normally when we have in the past had one service together with our Whitmore Lake campus at their campus. This time, they're coming here. So we're going to welcome everybody here to join together because we are one church, even though we are on two separate campuses. And so please come and be here. It'll be at 10 o'clock, and there will be lunch afterwards. You do not need to RSVP for lunch. We're just going to assume everybody's going to stay. So please make sure you're here for 10 o'clock on September 28th to celebrate that. The day before that, on September 27th, at the Whitmore Lake campus, they will be hosting a spaghetti dinner. for the benefit of Habitat for Humanity. So you can be a part of building a house for someone in the Livingston County area simply by coming to eat some spaghetti with us. So consider donating in that way and helping out again that September 27th from 5 to 7 p.m. And lastly, as has happened in many years past, our Redbird team is getting ready to go down to Beverly, Kentucky to do their week of mission work down there. And this year they have identified the Young Mothers and Baby Pantry as something that they want to support. And so we are asking people to bring in diapers, baby wipes, some new infant care, infant clothing, care items like shampoos, those kinds of things. I have seen the closet down there, and it is well used by the community as one of the few places where young mothers can get help, sometimes grandmothers, with starting out with their newborn. So please consider supporting that. We would like to have everything here by church on the at church here by September 28th. So normally we have a bin for that. I believe you'll still be able to bring your stuff to the library. Look for a sign there, and we'll start banking it up because I know you're going to do a good job on this. All right, those are all my announcements for this morning, and I ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Please join me in the opening prayer. All-knowing God, we bring earth to you. You can see inside our hearts, and you know our deepest wounds and shame. We thank you for your mercy and love that lifts us up from despair. Give us a forgiving heart so that all can know the peace your mercy brings. In your name. Please be seated.
And the scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Did any of you have any trouble parking today? I hope that some of you out there are actually people that came to town for the Gilmore Girls and said, oh, but there's a Methodist church. Maybe, huh? We'll see. Let us know on your way out, because if that's true, we actually have a gift for you, a very, very nice gift with some handmade items from our congregation. And not just if you're here for Gilmore Girls, all of our visitors, that's the truth. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we are grateful to be here in this place at this moment, for we know that you have promised to be with us. So be with us as we listen. Let us hear not only with our ears, but with our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, today and in this whole series that we're preaching on for the next several weeks, we're thinking about the promises that God makes. And one of the promises, and the one that we're going to be thinking about today, is God's promise to forgive us. That's a big promise. You know, among all of those promises, I kind of think the promise to forgive is kind of our foundational rock, right? It's the promise that we can climb upon when we're in trouble, especially if the trouble is of our own making. We need that promise. But not only does God offer to forgive us, but then we are called to forgive others as well. You know, sometimes forgiving is hard. And so we can kind of put ourselves in God's place and wonder how on earth, when we think about this, you know, the way that things are going, the way that people are pulling apart from one another, how on earth does God deal with this? 14 years ago, I was pastor of a small church on the east side. It was in East Point. It was called East Point Emmanuel. And I'd been there, I think, about a year when Ash Wednesday came around. And I was really excited because previously I had been an associate pastor and I didn't get to be in charge of this. And now this year, boy, I was getting to do it. So I had saved the Palm Sunday leaves from the Easter before. And I went out into the backyard of the parsonage and with one of my best pants. That was a mistake I didn't make in the future. One of my best pans, and I burned those palm leaves, and I kind of ground them up into ashes so that they could be placed on the foreheads of those who came to remember that we are indeed from ashes, and to ashes we return, but that we also are so deeply loved. So I had done all that, and then I needed something to put those ashes in. And I looked around in my house, and I found a beautiful clay pot, just the right size. I had gotten it at an art show sometime, so it was handmade. And I was just, wow. And we went, and we had our service on Wednesday evening so that people who worked could come. And we had the service, and I put the ashes on a little table up front, right around me, right there, and it went beautifully. It was a meaningful service. And at the end, we all went home, and I was weary, and I said, I think I'm going to just leave them right here in the sanctuary. They will be fine, of course. And then I went home. The next morning, just as I was getting dressed, the secretary got to the church before I did, and she said, "Lynn, someone has broken into the church." And I thought, oh no. Well, they smashed the window in her office, and they had gotten in. So I hurried over to the church, and I saw the smashed window, and then I went into the sanctuary. My clay pot was gone with the ashes, and it had been used. I have it here. This is my clay pot. It had been used as a weapon. It had been used to smash the glass in the window. I found it laying. Actually, they threw it with such force, it landed on a bookcase with all of its ashes. That's where it was. I hadn't unwrapped it in all these years. This paper is from the East Point East Sider from 2011. I said, I think that bowl is somewhere. I don't know why I kept it, but I did. So I thought, well, you might enjoy seeing the paper too. But, oh my gosh, can you imagine? And can you imagine how you feel to have your church broken into? How you feel to have things that are precious suddenly be damaged? It was unspeakably shocking. We were hurt. We were angry. We were confused. Because in the dark of night, some person looking for money had stolen instead our sense of security and peace. Now, when this occurred, I have to tell you the truth, the very first moment we did not necessarily feel like forgiving. But we are Christians, and every week we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You know, if you're hurting about something that's been done to you, a great place to start is to remember those words. As you do that, you may find your heart opening up, maybe not right away, but as you continue to pray, you may find your eyes and your heart opening up in unexpected ways. Poet John O'Donohue tells us that forgiveness starts with a willingness to see beyond what has been done to us. Remember that you yourself have been forgiven. Keep thinking about that. Throughout the scriptures, we see God working very hard to reveal to humanity who God is and what God is like and what God calls us to be like. You know, as you walk through the Bible, you see, what do you see? A whole bunch of stubborn people, right? It's Bible story after Bible story. There's a bunch of stubborn people that keep forgetting, and you keep going, I don't know. Can God forgive this? How's God going to get their attention? You know, sometimes they don't even pay attention. In Exodus, God spends 40 years, God's people spend 40 years, well, he was there with them, wandering in the wilderness, making mistakes, and sometimes learning as they went, right? Later in Samuel, the book of Samuel, and in Kings, we see people who are pleading with God. They want God to give them an earthly king. Up until this time, God had been their king. But now they see all of these other nations or tribes, and they all got kings. And we want a king. We want a king. And so finally, God says, okay, and he gave them some human beings like Saul and David and Ahab. You'll have to look them up to know which were the good kings and which were the bad kings. But all of them were humans, and all of them failed, right? So many of the people at the end of these, all of these kings ended up being taken into exile. And you know what? I only lost a clay pot. For them, their entire temple was destroyed. Prophets would come to remind them, and then they would listen, maybe for a while, and then they would forget, and they had more and more troubles, and God kept saying, stop, listen, I have a plan for you. Surely I know the plans that I have for you to give you a future with hope. Finally, God decided to come among us as in the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ, God incarnate. Jesus came because maybe they'd listen to Jesus. Jesus taught that the most important thing we're supposed to do, of all the laws, all the rules, most important two. What's number one? Love God. What's number two? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus taught. He said that's the most important thing. If you can't sort out any of the rest of that, that's what you're supposed to do. And Jesus healed people and forgave people and loved all kinds of people. When people put Jesus on a cross to die, he still kept loving. Luke 23 tells us that Jesus said while he was there on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The same story. I want to tell you about another person. This is a man who is a theologian who just died within the last half a year, who has been so important in my own spiritual journey. And at first I couldn't figure out why what he said resonated with me until I understood ways that he wasn't really like me, but we had some things in common. During World War II, he was a young man. He was drafted into the German army. He was a man who lived in Germany. When he was 16 and the war was going on, and had been for a little bit, the boys in his school were conscripted to go after school every day to sit manning the guns that were guarding their German city. He experienced terror in that time as a friend sitting right next to him was bombed and died. Then at 18, he was in the regular army. And there he watched, particularly he was stationed in Hamburg, and near the end of the war, the Royal Air Force was bombing that city and burning it. And he was there, and he saw it, and he saw the people dying. And finally, he was captured. And the war is still going, but it's really near the end. He was captured, and he was sent to a prisoner of war camp located on the coast of Scotland. There, he was to encounter Jesus. And his life was changed forever. First, there in Scotland, he had heard a couple little rumors about concentration camps. He'd never seen anything like it, didn't have any idea if it was true, thought it probably wasn't. But he saw pictures of concentration camps. They were hanging them on the walls. Some of the prisoners said, yeah, it's propaganda, that's not true. This is before Instagram. This is just pictures, right? And then, slowly and inexorably, the truth began to seep into our, this is him speaking, into our consciousness, and we saw ourselves deep through the eyes of the Nazi victims. Depression was compounded by a feeling of profound shame. Shame at having to share in shouldering the disgrace of one's own people. The Scottish overseers, they surprised him because they and their families actually came to meet us, their former enemies, and they came in a way that I think we might do here, if we, God forbid. They came with not hostility, they came with hospitality. It was a hospitality that profoundly shamed us. We heard no reproaches, we were not blamed, we experienced a simple and warm common humanity. Then a chaplain came and gave this man a Bible. He had not been a Bible reader. His family were German intellectuals, but they were not particularly religious. But he got this Bible, and he says, "I read the book in the evenings without much understanding of what I was reading until I came to the Psalms of Lament in the Old Testament. Particularly Psalm 39 caught my attention. It said, I am dumb and must, dumb meaning not able to speak, I am dumb and must eat up my suffering within myself. My life is nothing before thee. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner." And that psalm of lament, he says it echoed in his soul, and he just started to open his heart a little bit because it sounded like what he was feeling. Then, he says, I read Mark's gospel. As I read the whole thing, and I came to the story of the passion, and when I heard Jesus' death cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? I felt growing within me the conviction that this Jesus is someone who understands me, who understands me completely, who is with me when I cry out to God, and who has the same sense of forsakenness that I was living with at that moment. I began to understand Christ because I knew he understood me. And so he summoned up the courage to live again, and slowly but surely he found a great hope. A hope that's built on the resurrection. A hope that's built on this Jesus who not only suffered like he did, but who was resurrected and who was calling him into God's wide space. He says, Jesus sought me and he found me. He came to seek that which was lost, and so he came to me when I was lost. I don't know if that's like your story or not. I grew up in a family that was not religious. But I did ride the bus to Sunday school, to the Baptist church, and it was only when I was older that I understood who Jesus was. So I think that's why Moltmann has resonated with me. But now, do you know what he's known for as a theologian? He's called the theologian of hope, of hope. He moved from that resurrection depth to an understanding of God that brings hope. He says, he also tells a story about a medieval painting that shows Christ descending into hell. This would have been like, you know, between Good Friday and Easter. The creed, depending on which version you read, one of the versions says, and he descended into hell, and on the third day he arose. So there's a painting of that, some artists did. And here's what they show. Christ descending into hell and opening the gate for someone who is pointing to himself in hell as if he were saying, and are you coming for me? There's another story about this. This one is just an idea. A gentleman named W. Paul Jones says that if Jesus descended into hell after he died, perhaps the one he encountered there was Judas. Judas, the one who had betrayed him in the garden with a kiss. And so here's what W. Paul Jones says. This time, it must have been that Jesus kissed Judas, repeating the same words as he had said to Judas in the garden, "Friend, why are you here?" But this time, it became a resurrection invitation to Judas. Follow me. And he pictures them together walking out to death's other side. Now, we don't know if that happened, but I'll tell you what, it resonates with me. It resonates with me. You can decide for yourself. But to me, Jones, in this simple story, captured the essence of Jesus' ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation to the nth degree, right? No matter what, we can be forgiven. We can be reconciled. And so now, with this ministry of reconciliation, it becomes our turn. We're the ones who are called to do that ministry of reconciliation, and it all begins with choosing to forgive, which becomes more possible when we follow Jesus right to the heart of forgiveness. In the way of forgiveness, we read, we do not act from anger. This is the way instead of reconciliation. We do not act from anger. We speak our truth without exaggeration. Ooh, we're in trouble on this one, aren't we? Or distortion. I think that's what's going on right now. There's a whole bunch of exaggeration and distortion going on. We love those who hate us. That's hard. We pray for those who misuse us. We can do that. And let Jesus work on helping us to move to that next one, to that loving one. We offer more to others than they can rightly claim. I think we're pretty good at that. I think in this church, I think we do that. Well, we do a lot of these things. It's just, do we do them all the time? We're all human, right? My friends, we're called to love as Jesus loved. We're called to forgive as Jesus forgave, and we are called to help build a place on this earth where God's will is done as it is in heaven. Oh, about that thief in the night. You know, the one that broke this? You know, he went to a lot of trouble to break into our church and to smash our office window. And yet, here's another truth. Once he got in there, you know what he took? Oh, by the way, there was money in the secretary's drawer. He took nothing. Nothing at all. He didn't take the money. He didn't take her computer. That was in the days when there was a lot of computer stealing going on. We don't know. Why? Why didn't he? After he went to all that trouble, and yet, I wonder, was God working in that person's life? I don't know if it was a he or she even, or a they. I mean, it could have been a group, I don't know. But I do believe that God can work in people's lives, even when they're in the midst of one of, you know, a really terrible sin. God can work. And I hope, that what happened that night was after he smashed the glass and after he saw the ashes going everywhere, that maybe he sat down in a chair there
and started to think. Maybe something changed in his heart, just as Moltmann's heart changed, just as my heart changed, just as yours can. I don't know, but boy, I certainly can imagine it, can't you? Thanks be to God. Amen.
And choir, thank you for sharing that talent with us. Gracious God, Heavenly Creator, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, Holy Lord, King of Kings, Great Spirit, Lord Almighty, you are one and the same by any name, worshipped by millions around the world. We humbly bow our heads before you this day in supplication for your merciful hand to touch the lives of innocent ones who suffer violence, whose loved ones have been killed, whose homes have been destroyed, whose children face starvation. We pray that a spark of hope remains in their hearts as tenacious rescue workers fight
to continue relief efforts on their behalf, even while outside forces engage in self-serving power struggles. Grant us courage to maintain sacred space and sanity in this climate of finger-pointing judgment and condemning controversy. Unfortunately, our blessed land of the free has a history of fairly subjective freedom. And indeed, the home of the brave has become its own battlefield of opposing forces. God of justice, grant us wisdom to hear your word clearly. Fill us with peace when we remember your promise to provide, to never leave us, and to save those who call upon you. You have promised to strengthen us when we are weak and to make all things right in the end. We thank you, Holy One, for this beautiful earth and its miraculous inhabitants. Help us to respect your creation and to see your love reflected in the eyes of those who seem different from us. Bless these amazing quilts to be presented to Paisley, to Ernie, and to CJ, and allow each of them to feel the warmth of the love and many prayers embedded in the fabric and the securing ties. In our time of personal prayer, we offer the concerns and the joys held in our hearts. Hear us now as we repeat the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As the ushers prepare to come forward and receive today's gifts and offerings, just wanted to say you should have received a mailing from the church about our upcoming stewardship campaign. It has some great information. If you did not get one, please let the front office know, and we will get that for you. But this is a church that continues to reach out, to be active, to show our faith and our love and our hope to this community and beyond. So we knew this weekend thing was coming up in Brighton, and somebody said, well, you know, last year the Presbyterians charged to park in their lot. How did we miss that opportunity? So you may have seen somebody standing at the parking lot entrance. We got $1,000 yesterday that will go towards Pastor John's project in Liberia for getting wells and a truck to drill those wells for the people in the villages and communities there. So know that people in this community look at us and see the work that we do amongst ourselves and each other. We are a light in this community, and we need to continue to do that. Thank you for your generosity and your involvement and the way that you keep these ministries going.
of heaven and earth, your mercy flows like rivers through our lives. And we give to the mission and ministry of this church out of gratitude. Help us to use these offerings to bring glory to you and hope to your kingdom on earth. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.